Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Epic victories, heartbreaking defeats. No matter your team, no matter your game, we talk sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, you're back in the sports bar. Let's learn a little bit more about the Bills' opponent on Sunday. The L.A. Rams are coming to Bills Stadium. Eric Williams, Sports Illustrated, joining us in the sports bar. Eric, how have you been, bud?
I've been well. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Eric, let's start with I'm just curious, what is the new stadium like in Los Angeles? Because we're looking at that. We hear the price tag of $5 billion, and I know you've been to our stadium. I remember meeting you, had the pleasure of meeting you when the Chargers came to town a few years ago, and I just wonder, are we playing in the same league, Buffalo and Los Angeles, when I look at that palace that Kroenke built out there? Your impressions of that stadium?
It's everything you would expect something $5 billion to be. It's spectacular. If you've been to the Cowboys Stadium, it's similar to that in terms of the structure, because the same architects did that stadium that did the one here in LA. All the bells and whistles, sight lines are great because they went vertically. I think the unfortunate thing though is fans aren't able to see it, and hopefully they'll get a chance to get to the stadium at some point this season, but it's spectacular.
Eric, before we get to the Rams, I know another team in LA that you're intimately familiar with is the Chargers. Given the news that we heard today about what's going on with Tyrod, and I feel for Anthony Lynn in the position that now he is in, what if anything can the Chargers do to gain just a sliver of relevance in LA, or are we not interpreting their standing in LA? I mean, are they going to be there much longer? I mean, they're in this new palace, but I don't think anybody cares. What's your take on the Chargers in LA?
Well, let's talk about the Tyrod situation first. Obviously, it's unfortunate what happened to him, and I'm interested to see in terms of the league and the NFLPA how they handle that and how they make the person accountable if it's true and accurate what's being reported for what's happened to Tyrod. And I just hope that he's able to get fully healthy and at some point, get on the field and play. In terms of the Chargers, I think you're right. I think they have, had trouble gaining traction in the market. Certainly not having any fans in the stadium's not helping. But I don't think they're going anywhere just because of the financial situation, the fact that they're able to play in a facility like that and not really have to pay for, the $5 billion. Kroenke's really carrying the freight in that instance. So they'll get, as long as they need to try to build a market here in Los Angeles. And if it doesn't work after 8 to 10 years, then maybe perhaps they move on or the Spanos family considers selling the team. But again, it was always a long-term play. They knew they were going to take some hits early. And I think the league is going to have to be patient to see if they can build a fan base.
Are there more Raiders fans or Chargers fans in Los Angeles today?
Oh, I definitely think there's more Raiders fans, but I think there's more Raiders fans than Rams fans. I mean, I think, ideally, the Raiders would have returned to Los Angeles. It made the most sense, but obviously, with Mark Davis and the standing with the other owners in the league, they didn't want that to happen, and the Raiders are in Las Vegas and looks like they have a nice facility in Las Vegas, and their fan base will travel. They will have fans there again once they can have fans in stadium.
Eric, before we talk about the matchup on Sunday, you know, one thing that we marvel at with the Rams, and we've talked to other Rams insiders and asked them the same question, is a salary cap a myth? Does it just not exist for the Rams? How are they able to do what they've been able to do with the talent that they have amassed? You know, how much of that is letting go of talent when they let go of them, like guys like Todd Gurley? But I mean, like, it seems ridiculous to see the amount of money that they've spent on Woods, on Kupp, on Goff, on Ramsey, on Donald. I mean, like, these guys are all very healthily paid. How are they able to do it under the salary cap?
Yeah, their cap guy should get a raise with everything he's been able to do with the guys there. You know, I think obviously the salary cap can be finagled to the team's advantage, and I think they're certainly doing that. Not having Gurley and Brandon certainly helps in terms of cash and what you're going to pay guys in terms of cash, and that's really how I think about it. You know, I always feel like the salary cap can be manipulated year to year. The guys can get restructured so you can fit guys in. And I think that they do a good job of just kind of taking a year-by-year look on what they're going to pay guys and then worry about adjusting it in 2021 now. Obviously, 2021 is going to be different, too, because of all the COVID stuff. I imagine the cap's going to go down, so they're going to have tough decisions to make next year. It's really surprising that they're able to get Jalen Ramsey done, Cooper Kupp done, get an extension for Robert Woods when he wasn't, you know, due until the end of 2021, but they're able to get ahead of it. You know, again, props to their cap guy for being able to finagle everything and make it work on a year-by-year basis.
We're talking to Eric Williams, covering the Rams for Sports Illustrated, our guest here in the Sports Bar. If you're Leslie Frazier, the Bills' defensive coordinator, who's the guy you want to take away on this Rams offense? I mean, the answer for years and years was the running back, but he's now in Atlanta. So now it's a more balanced running attack, and you've got a lot of different pieces. So, you know, where do you focus your efforts if you're the Buffalo defense this week, Eric?
I still think it's the running game. Obviously, it's not Gurley, but it's the host of whoever's going to carry the ball, whether it's Darrell Henderson or Malcolm Brown or Cam Akers or their receivers, you know, Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp are going to be involved too in terms of the fly sweep. I think you got to stretch them horizontally and make sure you don't let them get outside, and then really put pressure on Jared Goff to beat you from the pocket, 7-step drop, and make him push the ball down the field. So I think it starts with the run game, but it's not Gurley. It's just whoever else is going to be carrying the football, and again, don't let them get outside.
Eric, well, from what we've seen through 2 weeks, I mean, the Rams look like they've reinvented again, even though they've kind of run the same formation. And they just do it exceptionally well and trick teams into believing that they're going to run the same play over and over again. What happened from year one to year two to year three with Sean McVay? Because we saw, you know, a very successful Rams offense go to the Super Bowl, a little bit of a step back last year when a lot of people were saying, oh, well, they figured out the Rams offense. Well, so far in 2020, it looks like they're back on top again, that they've figured out how to win against defenses in the NFL.
Well, I think it's a number of different things. I mean, obviously, in the offseason, he looked at how teams were attacking him defensively and figured out a way to get ahead of the curve again. I think part of it is speed, because they play so fast and they can change speeds. Yeah, they can go no huddle. They can slow down a little bit. I think that kind of keeps defenses off balance a little bit. They're able to take advantage of that. And I think the other thing is, you don't have Todd Gurley, so you don't have a guy that you feel like you have to get the ball 20 times a game. And I think that could be freeing as an offensive coordinator to just know that you can call kind of whatever you want to call, and you're not worried about having to get a certain player a certain amount of touches. And I think you've seen that when you watch them in the first 2 weeks, is, you know, a lot of different guys are touching the football. And as a defense, when you can't hone in on one guy, I think it makes it hard to game plan, because any one person can get going. You know, the opening week it was Malcolm Brown. Week two it was Darrell Henderson. Higbee got, you know, 3 touchdowns. So it's hard to game plan when they have so many different playmakers that can touch the football.
We're talking to Eric Williams, Sports Illustrated. As Jared Goff, when we talk about the best quarterbacks in the league, I don't think Jared Goff's name comes up in the conversation yet. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's directing a decent offense. So, Jared Goff, how would you evaluate where he is at this point in his career, Eric?
Yeah, that's a great question, too, considering the amount of money that he makes, too. He's certainly being paid as one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. I think Goff, when he's at his best and the offense has kind of been built around him, is a top 10 quarterback in the league. And I think we've seen that through the first 2 weeks. He's efficient. He's accurate. I think he can make all the throws. And I think McVay has done a great job of moving the pocket and allowing him to throw on the run, which I think is a strength of his. Getting the ball out quick, and they've done a good job of that as well. And I think Goff has done a good job of kind of, you know, remaking his body, being more athletic, being able to be comfortable throwing on the run and when there's the pocket's a little muddy. So I think all of those things, again, in a perfect scenario in this offense, he's a top 10 quarterback, but I also want to see when he has some adversity and how he responds to that.
Eric, we all had the chance to see the Rams week one on Sunday Night Football against the Cowboys, and I'm curious if they have arrested Aaron Donald for the assault of Ezekiel Elliott just yet. Is there anything or any player, any scheme, anything that can be done to slow him down?
I think you saw last week, you know, if you have an athletic center that can get in front of him and work with a guard, I think you can kind of somewhat limit the damage that he can do. Now, everybody doesn't have a Kelce in the middle, a Pro Bowl center that is athletic and can kind of keep track of a defensive tackle like that that's as athletic as Donald. But I certainly think that's the formula, is to have two athletic guys inside that can stay in front of him because he's so unique. You know, he's 6'1", 280 pounds, so he's really quick. But then he benches over 500 pounds, so he's one of the strongest defensive linemen in the league and a much smaller package, and I think that's what makes it hard to contain him. And then they can also move him, too. He can go out and rush the passer from the defensive end position. So I think it's really important to get athletic guys on him that can keep up with him and that are strong enough to hold up on a bull rush.
This week, the Rams secondary going up against Josh Allen. This is new to us here, Eric, in Western New York. We're not used to seeing modern passing like this, but what Josh Allen is doing right now, and look, week one it was the Jets, and Greg Williams, his man defense got torched, but then Miami trusted their corners, and that didn't work out, and the Bills just ran a lot of crossing patterns. So I guess my question, what scheme do they run in Los Angeles? Is it more zone, or is it more man? Because certainly Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, they've had some success here the first 2 weeks going against the press coverage.
I remember Jim Kelly was a pretty good player back in the day, so, you know, it's been a while, but Josh has certainly got it going through the first couple of weeks. Their defense coordinator, Brandon Staley, is a Vic Fangio protege. He's a 3-4 guy, but he runs multiple looks. So they'll run a mixture of man and zone. They'll run a mixture of three-man fronts and four-man fronts to kind of try to confuse Josh a little bit. It's cool seeing Josh play because I think I saw his first start when I was covering the Chargers couple of years ago, and he's obviously progressed a lot since then. Looks like a totally different player. But with any young quarterback, I think you have to create pressure. I think they've done a great job of kind of running empty so that he can, you know where the blitz is coming, be able to operate off that. I would imagine that you're going to see Jalen on Stephon and see him travel to try to take away their best receiver and then match up accordingly with the other guys. But I think they're going to have to try to generate pressure on Josh to hurry up his clock and get the ball out quick, see if they can force him into any kind of mistake.
Eric, if you're head coach Sean McVay and you're getting ready to travel east to come to Buffalo and to take on the Bills on Sunday, what, if anything, is keeping you up late at night?
Well, I think it starts with Josh. I mean, the reason that Josh is hard to defend is because he's huge at 6'4", 6'5", 230, and fast. And so he can create plays with his feet, obviously. They've gone up against a couple athletic quarterbacks already in Dak and Carson, but I think Josh is a step above in terms of his athleticism from those two guys, and that's saying a lot. So Josh is kind of your first thing you have to deal with. They run the ball pretty effectively, too, and obviously they have playmakers on the outside at receiver, so really it's that offense trying to slow them down. Defensively, they think they do a good job of running the football, decent job of stopping the run, but I think really, it's about stopping that explosive offense and not let them kind of take over the game early.
The Rams, the only team that finished above 500 last year and missed the postseason, and they certainly look like a better version this year, but unlucky for their fans, Eric. You're in, I think it's fair to say, the toughest division in football. How would you lay out the NFC West this year?
Well, Well, I think we've already seen that San Francisco's kind of had that Super Bowl, lingering in terms of, the injuries and everything they're dealing with. So it looks like they've taken a step back. I'm going to go with, the best quarterback in the division, in my opinion, having covered him up in Seattle, Russell Wilson. Even though they have, pieces missing defensively and they don't do a great job up front, I just think Russell is able to do things at the end of the game that are special. So I'd put Seattle number one. I'd put the Rams number two right now based on how they're playing, and Arizona right next to them. Maybe Rams 2A, Arizona 2B, just because what Kyler's been able to do in the first couple games. San Francisco, just because of all the injuries and everything, I think you have to put them number four right now. Maybe things will change in the next couple weeks, but all four teams are tough. I think it is the toughest division in the league right now, and certainly if you win the division, you will have earned it.
Yeah, Eric, before the season began, I looked at the schedule for the Bills and thought, well, they and the rest of the AFC East drew the toughest division in football, and if you're an NFC West team, you got to be looking at least a couple of wins on your schedule when you factor in that you're playing the Dolphins and the Jets and teams that, out East that just don't have it. Would you say, am I crazy? Because I actually believe this, that San Francisco's injuries, they're going to hurt, but I'm not going to count out San Francisco until they're out, right? They're the defending NFC champions for a reason. There's still a lot of talent on that roster. They got a good head coach. They got a good defensive coordinator. Is it crazy for me to think that all four teams in the NFC West this year could make the postseason?
I don't think all four, but although you're right, you have an extra team making it now with the way that it's set up. So it's possible, but I would think maybe three can get in. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, but I just think because they're going to play each other twice, they're going to end up knocking each other off. I think when I did the predictions for the NFC West, I had them all finishing at least 500 or better with Arizona. I felt kind of being 8-8, but now that you're kind of seeing it play out, maybe the Niners are that 8-8 team. And I think you're right about the Niners because they are well coached. Robert Saleh does a great job as a D coordinator. Obviously, Shanahan's a great coach, and they have pretty good depth. But I just, with the kind of guys that they're losing, Bosa, I think Garoppolo is going to play this week. A lot of their frontline guys, I think it's tough to replace that kind of production.
Eric Williams covers the LA Rams for Sports Illustrated. So, Eric, leading up to the question, I don't know if you're in the prediction business, but how do you see this game playing out for the Buffalo Bills? We like to joke that the subdivision part of their schedule is over with the Jets and the Dolphins. Now the real teams come aboard. Coming up 1 o'clock Eastern Sunday, how do you see the Rams and Buffalo playing out?
It's unfortunate that the fans aren't going to be there because I do feel like Buffalo is kind of a low-key, tough place to play in the NFL that maybe people don't understand unless you've actually been in the stadium, and it does get loud there with the fans. But that said, going back-to-back in the East Coast, I think that's a tough travel. Buffalo's playing really well right now. If I had to pick, I would be leaning Buffalo at this point, but I still have a couple days before making my prediction.
Eric Williams covering the Rams for Sports Illustrated. Eric, let our listeners know what you're working on here leading up to game day.
I'm going to do something on Robert Woods returning to Buffalo and the success that he's had since, returning to L.A. with the Rams signing here in 2017. That'll be the main thing I'm working on heading into the weekend.
So, Eric, the game last time you were in Buffalo, like you mentioned, that was Josh Allen's first game, the Bills Chargers game. We also know that game for another notorious reason up here in Western New York. That was the game. Yes, you remember this?
Vontae Davis game.
Vontae Davis quit. I didn't even realize it. And then afterward, everybody was like, wait a second. And just kind of a murmur. When did you find about that? That wasn't until the post game that you realized that he just kind of picked up and drove home at halftime.
Well, I know we were looking for him because we realized he wasn't on the field, that they were matching up differently and somebody else was in there. So the assumption was that he was hurt, but then to hear about it afterwards, such a strange story for something like that to happen. But you hear guys retiring all the time, just not in the middle of the game like that and just putting the pads up and saying they're done. That definitely sticks in my mind, being there at that game.
Well, Eric, hopefully soon we can connect again. And, man, stay safe out there in L.A. Thank you for your time this afternoon, and enjoy the weekend.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. Eric Williams covering the Rams for Sports Illustrated, joining us in the sports bar.
Yeah, yeah, really good stuff. If you missed that, you can go back on the radio.com rewind feature. Just download the app, or we'll have that up for you later up on ESPNRochester.com.
All right, I'll drink to that next. Some takes on tap. I've got a narrative that needs to end because there's no way that it's ever going to change. It's an NFL storyline that people want to continue to bring up, and we just stop bringing it up because it ain't ever happening again.
Okay, I'm going to tell you which quarterback is about ready to go off a cliff. And this is an eye test. This is actual data that I'm going to present to you, and you're going to make a conclusive decision.
I don't
decision
care about your data. I'm all eye test. All eye right. test guy.
All right, eye test plus data.
Okay.
Okay, when you have the eye test and then you have the data that backs it up, oh, I guess we are right on this. Also, got an update on Skip Bayless. And I think people are going to be pretty upset.
Oh, really?
Some people.
Well,
some people.
Those people should just realize that it's not that serious. It's just takes. All it is, just takes.
All right.
I have a non-sports take as well. The most useless skill that was taught to us when we were in school. I'll explain. I'll drink to that on the way next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.